From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is Monday after a holiday weekend. Back to work for many of us, although some of you are having that 4th of July weekend hangover, aren't you? It's Jason, Dan is here. Not you, Dan Cook. You're ready. You're fired up. You had a bunch of days off, didn't you?
I had a 4-day weekend, yeah. And does that qualify as a bunch?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. When's the last?
I don't know either. That's why I'm asking.
I feel like I need to take some time off.
I think so, too. No, I mean, I think you deserve
Kate Raddatz, what is Dan Cook saying to me?
I'm
listen to that.
I think you work very hard, and you deserve some time off. Right, Kate?
Yes, you work. You're a hard worker. Yes,
you work very hard.
Yes.
Kate Raddatz with McClung PR is with us. Let's play your open. I jumped the gun here. I got too excited.
She's an Emmy Award-winning reporter.
Yeah, I love it.
She's a senior public relations pro. She can belt out the national anthem better than most.
It's a process. Like, you got to find someone to do it with because it's not fun by yourself. So I don't know.
But maybe the most important role she plays coming at the stories of the day from the perspective of a millennial mom. Let's all learn a thing or two from the mind and filter of Kate Raddatz.
Yeah, there you go. There's what's happening.
This is the Rad Report.
And now it's official. Kate Raddatz with McClung PR is with us. You need the open. Do you ever?
I wasn't sure if it was my time. I'm like, I didn't hear a song.
Right. You know, in the open, it talks about you singing the national anthem. I don't know. Did you see the story in the newspaper? I think it was in print on Sunday, but it was online this weekend. Talking about how difficult it is to sing our national anthem.
Yes. It is a very difficult song to sing. And obviously people have a lot of opinions about how they want it to be sung. And the general consensus I have gotten over the years is people really like it when you keep it simple. That is not a time that people want you to do a bunch of frills and extra notes and whatever. That's just the consensus I have gotten. But yes, it is a challenging song to sing. And when people are singing it, they're usually not in a space where it's super easy to sing either. So yes.
Right. In a stadium, when you have like sort of the echo and trying to cancel that out and just listen to yourself and say, like, it's difficult. It is difficult, I think.
It's very difficult. I could be wrong. It's been a while since I've sung at Target Field, but I want to say that was particularly difficult. So, yes, it totally depends on the venue, but yes.
I like it fast. I like it.
You like it to clip along.
This is not a funeral dirge. I do not like the slow, let it rip, but it is. I think I've told you this before. I used to practice singing this song. I was a strange child, let's be honest.
Okay.
But I would practice singing the national anthem in our unfinished basement growing up.
Okay.
Because it was pretty good acoustics there in the unfinished basement.
Sure. We all have a place. Yes.
That was my place, and it was out of the way. And I would practice our anthem, and I would practice O Canada, because I thought there's a pretty good chance that I was going to be singing that at Chicago Stadium at a Blackhawks game.
I did not know this. Okay.
Yeah. And O Canada, much easier song. Much easier song.
Did it ever happen? Did I miss something?
No, I never even tried to do this. I've never even auditioned. I did sing the seventh inning stretch once at a Twins game, but that's about as close as it gets.
That's pretty good. I think that's pretty good. It is a tough, but you say you don't like it slow. These are the things I think about when I hear people go really slow. I go, ooh, I wonder if they can't hear themselves well. Because sometimes if you go, you tend to slow down when you're waiting to hear yourself. So I don't know. I'm always sympathetic to the people singing, you know. But I do enjoy it. I love listening to it.
I love
every time.
Yeah, you know? It does. I will say, like, as much as I am empathetic to the argument that maybe we should change our national anthem, that this one isn't a great national anthem. I think it's not a great national anthem objectively, but emotionally it still does. Like, I always get like sort of the butterflies, you know.
Can anyone watch Whitney Houston's version and not just feel, I if I'm having a bad day, I will pull up that video,
right?
And I am ready to go. So
yes. I know. I was thinking about, so I was going to open up the phone lines last week and have people try to sing the national anthem. But
oh, boy.
I thought better. I thought better of that idea. I think
it was a creative thought. It was creative.
Like, I'll give you the words and let's see if you can let it rip. It's just, it's a
someone
difficult.
Would be good. I bet you'd get somebody out of many.
Somebody
would be good.
That's right. Did you guys, you know, your kids are young. It's sort of prime, like great 4th of July age, I would think. What did you guys do for the 4th?
You know, it's become one of my favorite holidays. It's like getting Christmas in July, because my whole family, we got to see almost all of my nieces and nephews. All the cousins get together. We're on the water. Only Saturday was kind of the iffy weather day. And we haven't had great, it feels like it's been a while since we've had great weather, and it was great weather. So yeah, we were just on the lake a lot. We do the bike parades. They just love, you know, it's just really nice being with family, and our kids grow up with their cousins. So I just love it. It's like peak summertime to me. So.
Yes. Yes. I agree where you say, It is funny that it's peak summertime, but also there's a little bit where it feels like, is it over? Is summer almost over now?
Like, when you're a kid in school, you always felt like, you're like, oh, well, summer's over halfway.
Now? Yes, right. Yes. The back to school sales are happening.
I already started shopping.
It's
yep,
Target
I'm already
Circle
doing it.
Week. It's Best
yep.
Buy. Blue Tag, I don't know what they call their thing. It's has Amazon Prime thing. Has that started yet? I don't know. All of the things are happening.
Well, and there's always a blogger. There's always at least one who will post the pretty reel that says, it's all these images of fall. It's like, this is only 60 days away. I'm like, why are we talking about this?
No. I haven't been on a boat yet. So I'm not ready to throw up the halfway point.
Oh, we got lots of time. July is the best. It's like 95 degrees every day. This is the best part of summer. So you've got lots of time.
Kate Raddatz is with us. Kate, do you think of yourself as a cool person?
No. And
do others think you're cool?
I mean, if they're my friend, hopefully they think I'm cool. Depending on how you describe cool, I would say there are personality traits that make me cool, but overall I don't generally can describe myself as a cool person.
There is a new study that identifies six traits.
Okay.
In coolness. Because there are certain people, and I think about this like when I'm scrolling Instagram, and this is my, like, I love fashion, and my number one question I always find myself asking when I see an outfit that I like and think I would like to buy, and the question is, do I like this outfit, or is this just an incredibly cool person who's being photographed?
Oh.
Right? You're like, this would look stupid on me because I'm not cool enough.
Sure.
You know?
That makes sense.
So this study says, here are the six traits of coolness.
Okay.
And this is as written up in the New York Times. But I looked. It's a real study. It's not just like some kind of dumb survey. It's from the University of Arizona, University of Georgia, published by the American Psychological Association. So here we go. Number one, extroverted. I think that's usually true. Sorry, Dan.
Yep.
Cook, you're out. Number two, hedonistic. I think that's right. Yep. Like a little element of like, Are you indulgent in some way?
Okay. Right? Okay.
Powerful. Yeah. Adventurous, open, and autonomous. This is from 12 countries around the world. And the traits were almost all the same, no matter where you were. So in the past, the research said that coolness is linked with friendly, competent, trendy, and attractive. But there's something more than that, right? Like there's like whenever I think of somebody that is cool, there's always like an element of like there's a little element of danger, a little bit of risk taking.
Sure. Yes.
So in that term, you would not be cool.
I would not be. No, I'm definitely a rule follower. No, yeah, I would not count. This explains why I was not also cool in high school. Yes.
I'm trying to think like media people in town. Are there any media people who read as cool?
Ooh.
Like Paul Majors?
I feel bad if I see. I think Frank is cool.
Frank
is cool to me. I think Amelia is cool.
Yeah. So I think Amelia gives cool. Frank, no.
No. Oh no. I think Frank is pretty cool. I think he's pretty cool. But I also know Frank. You know when you
well,
know. It's like,
yes, Frank is cool. But like I don't know that he gives. I don't
That's
know
what
that
I'm saying. Maybe I can't, you know, think of just.
I'm just thinking
by
like the
perception.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm sure there's.
Rosen. I think Mark Rosen's a little cool. I think Amelia's cool.
He's cool.
Robin Robinson. Now, she was cool. The Fox 9 anchor, when she was in town, she gave cool.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
For sure. But
know.
It is a little bit of a rule breaker, I think, type probably thing. More of the adventurous.
All right, text him
quality.
With your cool. Who gives you cool vibes in Minnesota? 651-461-9226. We'll break. Maybe you guys will come up with something better than Kate and I did. Back in just a minute on Drive Time.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're talking about the traits that make somebody cool. Kate Raditz is with us, the Rad Report. Texter's coming in with a couple cool names. I don't know. No, but I feel like no one's really nailing it. One texter
said, "We don't know cool people."
maybe that's just it. Michelle Tafoya, back on her sideline days, I think like she was very cool. When you're in the sports world, there's a coolness. You're just kind of cool by association, right? Michael Grady,
oh, absolutely.
The Timberwolves play-by-play guy, cool.
Marielle Mose is my friend, so you know,
I feel like I have to say she
is very cool.
Yep, she does give cool. She gives cool vibes.
Yes.
Oh, another texter. If there's somebody like I've met a lot of lawmakers. So most lawmakers not cool. Most politicians not cool. Bobby Joe Champion, this texter says. That's Bobby Joe's got a cool, little bit of a coolness to him. I think the Speaker of the House, Lisa Damon, there's a little, she's got like a little cool edge to her. Yeah. Your boss, Brian McClung, not cool.
He's out of town, so we could say that.
That's fine, yeah. I don't know. Would he argue with that? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah, he would probably not. He would probably not. Most people would describe him as cool. He would probably not.
No. Yeah, I don't know. This is not exactly a cool town. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
we're Minnesota.
I don't use that term ever to describe, ever. I don't ever think of the word cool, ever. I never look at someone and think, "Oh, they're really cool," or what they're wearing is really cool. I just don't.
I kind of do.
Really?
Like there are certain people you'll be like out to. One of our viewers on YouTube said, "Sean Sherman," who Sean Sherman is objectively cool. The sous chef from Owamni, he is cool.
Oh, sure.
Prince, of course, like, yes, peak of cool. Yeah, I don't know. We're out.
I don't know.
Alyssa and I were at the Four Seasons patio, the Riva Terrace, yesterday. And these two guys walked in, and they were young and had like sort of the flowy young guy hair. And they were wearing what looked like almost like, I don't know, like Western style shirts.
Okay.
And the Alyssa's like, what do you think their story is? It's our favorite thing game to play when we're out. It's to create the fictional story about other people. So like at one table next to us, I'm pretty sure was a pilot and a flight attendant. They were both married, or at least they both had wedding rings. And his body language said, this is just a couple of friends. And her body language said, ready for takeoff. So, that was very interesting. And then these two guys came in, and you're like, whoa, these are a couple of cool cats, because it was just the way that their clothing and whatever. I don't know. It gave cool vibes. You're too suburban. You're not having enough cool fun, maybe.
If I say someone's cool, I'll say, oh, they're really cool. He's a really cool guy. I mean, they're really fun.
Oh.
They're really nice.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's just
apparently not.
No,
apparently not.
It's like cool. There's like a vibe that some people just give you. Like I was at the Get Down Coffee Shop in North Minneapolis today, and Houston White, who owns it, it's like, that guy is objectively cool. I always feel like a absolute nerd, you know?
Sure.
There are certain people you're around, and you're like, oof.
They exude cool.
Yeah, and you're like,
apparently I need to find that pool.
Jonathan on YouTube is saying he thinks he's cool. Why not?
There you go. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
One texter said subjective. That people, but I mean, of course, like, yes. And like, there are certain people where you're just like, you know, there are certain Hollywood stars, right? You think George Clooney, cool.
He's cool.
Brad Pitt,
absolutely.
Cool.
Yes.
Samuel L. Jackson, cool. Charlie XCX,
sure.
If you want like a pop star today, like there's a coolness there. Why? We don't know. And so, well, maybe it's these six traits, according to the New York Times. Who knows?
Yeah, introverts have, it always puts the extrovert on there. That's tough. It's always, they make it harder to be an introvert. You know, they always associate cool with being more, you know,
which is kind of weird,
because more like, extroverted.
Yeah. But you think about like Bob Dylan, there's a guy that.
Right?
So I think sometimes there's like a mysterious coolness that happens.
Absolutely, yes. Yes.
Fast Company said there's a new trend emerging among Gen Z career professionals. Have you heard about this new trend? It's called micro-retirement. Micro-retirement. Now, does micro-retirement sound good to you, Kate? Does that sound intriguing?
It depends what it is. Depends what it is. How long is this micro-retirement?
Micro-retirement is, I believe a lot of us would just call it a vacation.
Okay.
But, so.
Okay.
But we need like a cool trend. Cool. It's the cool factor.
It's cool. We like to label everything.
Micro retirements involve taking a 1 to 2 week break from work.
Okay.
Every 12 to 18 months. But it's a little bit different. It's like an intentional, unpaid time to rest and recharge.
An unpaid time?
Unpaid time. It's a retirement. So, like, maybe you quit a job and then find a new job when you're ready to work again. Oh, dang
that's,
it.
That's dumb. For a week? No, thank you. No.
Maybe you set up a plan with your employer that allows you to take unpaid frequent work breaks.
Okay, why don't you find a place to work that offers a thing called vacation time and just take a week off and do it more than 18 months? Okay.
Micro retirement. Just wanted to introduce everybody to that. Genius.
We love labeling.
Good job, Gen Z. You've done it. Kate, very fun. Thanks for hanging with us today.
Hey, thank you so much.
Kate Raddatz, The Rad Report. She is a big shot at McClung PR. Don't tell her boss that I said he's not cool. We are going to break. When we come back, I want to revisit the absolute tragedy in Texas from this weekend. Nearly 100 people killed in flooding. It's bringing attention to the issue of warnings. And where are we on warnings? We are going to speak with an expert from the University of Wisconsin-Madison in just a minute here on Drive Time.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.